Good morning, Bridgepoint. Hey, Clearwater Campus, come on, somebody. Seminole Campus, home of the fan cake. That's a fan day joke. And downtown campus, where the energy is always rocking. And of course, Tyrone. Good morning. Good to see you all. My name is Chad Bryan. I am the student pastor here at Bridgepoint. I am not Tyler Crossan. Instead, I am just one of the two beautiful members of what the young people call the Baldashians. It is a privilege to be here today. It has been such a privilege to be here the last several months. And on behalf of my family, I want to thank you. As we've acclimated from upstate New York to Pinellas County, and wow, it was crazy. It's been such a meaningful experience for us. The Bridgepoint staff has been amazing. We really love them. They've been such a blessing to our lives, and volunteers have been so supportive. And so thank you, church as a whole. Thank you for being so kind and welcoming to me and my family. And for the many who I've yet to meet, I am excited for that part of the journey. But just on behalf of my family and this goon squad over here, thank you. Thank you for welcoming us. We are... Hey, guys, I'm trying to give a message. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. We're continuing our series today called Powernoia. And... Paranoia is a word that you probably never really used up until recently, maybe. Paranoia describes the anxiety that a person feels when the battery of a respective digital device runs low. So you have like that, you know, that 20% warning, a 10% warning turns into a 2%, 1% kind of stressful feeling, right? And that kind of correlates to our lives because we have batteries and they get drained. And so maybe you're in here today and you feel drained. You feel like you are about to power off. Or maybe you felt like you did power off a few percentages ago. Today's message is called Power Off because today we're going to talk about how to intentionally power off so that not only can we avoid unintentionally powering off, but so that we can live life at an optimal level. Last week, my colleague and friend, dear friend, Tyler Crossan, who's been such a blessing in my life upon coming here to Bridgepoint, he did an awesome job at setting the stage for Powernoia, and he gave the big idea, the main truth that's the foundation for this Powernoia series of pride and rest can't coexist, right? Pride and rest cannot coexist, but work and rest can. Work and rest do coexist. In fact, if you want to look at something that does a really good job of working really hard and resting really well, look at your digital devices. In particular, look at your phone. Every night, most of us kind of tuck our phones in, plug them in, let them rest and restore, recalibrate for a whole nother day of usage. And then we have things in our car to make sure our phones stay rested. And we want them that even when they're 100% rested, we rest them even more just in case they have a momentary restlessness. And then, in case we ever forget our devices to make sure that they stay rested, our friends will lend their charger to us to make sure, because they prioritize the rest of our phones. They understand how important that is. And then there's airports and coffee shops and restaurants that have like these little areas where your phones can rest in case they have become fatigued. Because everyone knows how important it is to rest your piece of metal, heartless, lifeless thing, because they work really hard, so we have to rest them really well. But question, what about your soul? What about mine? You see, from the beginning, we were created for rest. From the beginning, we were created for rest. And that's really weird for me to say, because I love work. I love work. I actually have taken a time management course twice and the same one. Is that weird? Just to see how I can squeeze the most amount of productivity from every minute of every day as much as possible. Our staff, our Ridgepoint, my colleagues, they make fun of me for not taking lunch breaks. In eighth grade, on the basketball team, I won an award that had nothing to do with athleticism. Instead, I was handed an award that said Mr. Intensity. They didn't know if I could play a lick worth of basketball. They just knew I was really intense as a little kid. And what they didn't know is that I was going to stay with me the rest of my life. I am highly driven. I got a high motor. I love to work. And so the last couple weeks of studying how we were created for rest, it's been humbling and incredibly helpful to my soul. And so I want to share that with you today, and I hope that it can be helpful for you as well. But from the beginning, you and I, we were created for rest. Of course, we were created for work. If I told you today, hey, you and I were created for work, I feel like most of us would be like, well, I mean, that makes sense. Like, true, right? But in the beginning, work and rest had perfect cohesion. Adam and Eve worked the garden, and their work was awesome. It was life-giving, stress-free. It was amazing. No awkward texts or emails to respond to. No one coming to your office, knocking on your door, tapping on the door, saying, hey, can we just talk for a minute? None of that. It was amazing. It was perfect. And their rest was perfect too, because God literally walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. So they found perfect rest in the presence, the literal presence of God with them. They had perfect rest and perfect work, the perfect cohesion. And in fact, God modeled this, the cohesion of the perfect one, of work and rest in the very beginning, in the creation of everything. God took 6 days to create everything. 6 days to create everything. And then on the seventh day, the Bible says this, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. So the job was all done on 6 days. Everything, that's a wrap. You know, six should have became like the magic number, right? Instead, he created a day just to create rest. He didn't borrow the idea of rest. He wasn't like, I'm exhausted and all-powerful God. That's not how it works. He didn't look at someone and you know, kind of like with their feet up underneath a bungalow or whatever and be like, I need some of that, right? Instead, he created rest. So anything that we try to find rest in is just a cheap knockoff imitation of the rest that God created. He's the origin, the author, the creator of rest. He created it from the very beginning, and it was in perfect cohesion, work and rest. But then here's what happened. Adam and Eve, they rebel against God. Sin comes in the world, screws up everything. That's the line of the day, okay? Everything gets dysfunctional, and the work, the perfect cohesion between work and rest is entirely broken, right? So God then makes 10 commandments. And out of all the things, out of the 10 primary guidelines he gives people to operate by who follow him in that time, number 4 out of the top 10, out of God's top 10, you know what it is? Take a break. Number 4, top 10, God's top 10 rules, number 4 is take a rest. And you know what? It actually comes before a pretty well-known and accepted commandment that sounds like this, don't kill anyone. Before that, God says, take a break. Look, in case you think I'm making all this up. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to Lord your God. Now, this is where the word Sabbath comes from. Sabbath means, the literal definition is to cease work. That's Sabbath, okay? So in the Old Testament, this was Sabbath rest. Now, out of all the 10 commandments, this command, number 4, take a rest, is actually the command that has the most words attached to it out of all the 10 commandments. It has the most words. God used the most words to explain this commandment compared to the other 9. And here's why, because he wanted to be very clear for people to understand what he meant by take a break, right? It's kind of like when you tell your spouse, like, you should be resting, I am, you know, as they're just firing through the email inbox. Like, God's, this is what it means to rest. But because sin has completely distorted everything, and now there was arrogance and self-reliance and workaholism and all that stuff, you know what happened? Instead of, God gave them rules so that they could rest, but you know what people did? They forgot about the rest, and they embraced the rules. So God gave them rules so they could rest. Instead, people flipped that, and it became Sabbath, became about the rules rather than the rest. And so Jesus comes, and he does what Jesus always does, and he throws out a couple zingers. Here's one of them, and this changes everything for how people view Sabbath. Jesus comes, and he says, hey, it's not about the rules, guys, right? Let's flip this up. It's not about the rules. It's about the rest. It's not about the rules. It's about the rest. And so he says the Sabbath, which is rest, right, was made for man. This is ancient. That means people. So the Sabbath was made for people, not people for the Sabbath, meaning rest was made to help people, to serve people, not people to serve rest. It's not about the rules. It's about the rest. So Jesus changes Sabbath rest as we know it, because it's no longer about like a 24-hour period with all these rules and regulations of what you got to follow, but instead Sabbath rest can now be experienced in the heart of any believer, any time, any place, in every circumstance, all right? So he changed the game, if you will, when it comes to Sabbath rest. So what exactly, speed up, 2019, what is Sabbath rest? What is Sabbath rest in our day? Sabbath rest is this, the peace we experience, the peace we feel. Trusting Jesus wants to walk with us and pull our weight for us. Sabbath rest is the peace we feel. Trusting that Jesus wants to walk with us and pull our weight for us. Last week, Tyler introduced the foundational verse of the series, Paranoia. And it's found in Jesus' invitation to us to find rest in him, right? And Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You see, the reason that pride and rest can't coexist, why? Because you have to admit that your battery's drained. You have to admit that you can't hold your own charge, that you can't just white-knuckle everything in life. You have to have the humility to admit that. Jesus continues, take my yoke upon you, learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, you might know, many of you or some of you, what a yoke is. Occupation, the way you're brought up. You just read books. You're a smart person, okay? Some of you are nodding your head. Yes, in your point. I mean, look at me. I don't know what a yoke is, okay? I've preached this passage a few times in my life, and I forget every time. Also, when my wife tells me to pack the van and help pack the van, I can't remember a time where she threw a yoke at me and said, take that too. Like, I don't, what is a yoke, all right? So for those of you who know, don't judge too harshly, okay? Some of us are just relearning here. But this is a picture of a yoke, all right? And this is a yoke. A yoke is a wooden cross piece that is fastened over the necks of two animals. It takes two, right? You know the song. It's fastened over the necks of two animals and attached to the plow or cart that they are to pull. So in Jesus' day, when he gives this first quote, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. And my yoke is easy, my burden is light. This is the picture that they have represents the everyday work and grind. You know, that's what the people are thinking. That come to me, those who are weary and burdened. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. They're thinking about the daily work and grind that they have in their life. And so Jesus is saying, my yoke is easy. Here's why. Because my yoke is easy because it is easy for you. All you have to do is accept, God is saying, all you have to do is accept my invitation to be yoked up with you, to do life with you. You see, growing up in church, I would hear this line, you know, Jesus say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I would kind of interpret that as like Jesus saying, hey, compared to all the other religious founders, Chad, and compared to everything the world is offering you, I am not as harsh of an oppressive master as everyone else. And I thought, well, you know, like, that is good to know, but I want to say it's the most inspirational thing I ever heard. Okay? That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus, I think we often think, speaking for myself, but knowing I'm not the only one, we often think of Jesus as like the oppressive master in the cart, you know, cracking the whip saying, do better, clean up the vocab, right? Go to church more, listen to Christian radio more. He never says that, I promise you. Do better, right? Jesus is not in the cart behind you cracking the whip, dishing out commands. Jesus is saying, my yoke is easy because I want to be yoked up with you. I want to do life with you. And that's why my yoke is easy. David put it well in Psalms. He says, even when the way goes through Death Valley, even my life, and some of you might be in this spot today, even when my life is in the pits, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Changes everything. He's not in the cart cracking the whip. He's yoked up with you. And his yoke is easy because you just have to say yes to that. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden's light. Why is his burden light? Well, his burden is light because Jesus is offering to step in and pull the cart for you. He's offering to step in and pull your weight, pull my weight for us. Jesus is offering not just to step in and do life with you, but to pull your weight for you. And one of the ways that this looks like in life is described here in Philippians. Paul, he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. This is just for fun. Bonus points here. Do not be anxious about anything. You know why the Bible, whenever it says don't do something, you know why? Because it's happening, you know? Hey, don't smoke that. Why? Because they are, right? Like, don't be anxious about anything. Why? Because we all are. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So here's what Jesus is saying. I want to be yoked up with you. My burden, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light because I will pull the weight for you. So how do we do that? Well, we take our weight, we take our worry, we take our guilt, we take our shame, we take our stress, we take all those expectations we're failing, whether we put them on ourselves or other people have put them on us, we take all of that, and rather than as we naturally try to white knuckle and we pull our weight, right? That's what we do naturally. We pull our weight. Instead, we take that weight and we throw it at God. He's big enough to handle it. He's bigger than you think he is. He can take it. And what he's saying is, you throw that weight at me, I will give you back peace. You know why? The reason you're so strained and the reason you're so worn down is because you and I, we are trying to pull a problem or problems that are bigger than we are, things that are out of our control. So we feel that strain. That's why we're weary. That's why we're fatigued. That's why we're burdened. But when we throw it to God, we can experience peace because the person, the only person who's qualified to do the job is now on the job and he's tackling our problems and we could be at peace with that. So he says, hey, my yoke is easy. Why? You just have to accept my invitation to be yoked up with you and to walk with you. And my burden is light. Why? Jesus is saying, because I'm going to pull the weight for you. That's Sabbath rest. That's what Sabbath rest looks like. It didn't take long for the Bryan family to discover the beach here in the St. Pete area, and one of our things, that's my little guy, Sully. We have a few of them, feels like 13 of them sometimes, but that's Sully. He's just under three. He curly hair, missing a big front tooth because he turned peekaboo into a contact sport, so you can't miss the kid. And one of his favorite things to do at the beach, one of our favorite things to do at the beach, Sully loves to pull the wagon. He loves to pull the wagon. So here's the thing. He tries to pull it by himself, and that's just a hot mess, right? That's a disaster. It's overwhelming for him. It's not worth the experience, okay? So instead, Dad steps in, and Dad pulls the wagon. And here's a couple things. One, as Dad, I expect no contribution from my son, right? Like, he's not doing anything. If anything, which is totally real, I am slowing down the whole process so that Sully could be a part of it. right? I expect no contribution from him. Two, I will pull all the weight for him. He can bank on that. Dad's got it. I will pull all the weight for him. And three, you know why I'm doing it? Because I just want to walk with him. Like, it's the best. I'm going to get all emotional, man. It's the best. Just to walk with Sully. And when he, what he just accepts and stops fighting, trying to do it himself, right? Chill out, kid, right? But when he just accepts that dad's got the weight, he's letting me carry it with him, right? But dad's pulling it. And he just finds the joy and peace that comes from just enjoying the journey together. I feel like that's the picture of Sabbath rest. You see, God, he's not the oppressive master in the back cart yelling commands at you. He just wants to walk with you. He just wants to walk with you, and he will pull your weight for you. But you got to trust that he just wants to walk with you, and that he'll pull your weight for you. And that's how you experience that peace that comes from Sabbath rest. So that's what it is. What does this look like in our life? What does Sabbath rest look like in our life? Well, Sabbath rest is both an attitude of our heart and a lifestyle. It's both an attitude, the position of our heart, and it is a lifestyle. And this message, you've heard about the heart part, right? You could have Sabbath rest. You could experience it anytime, anywhere, in every circumstance, right? It's just choosing to trust that Jesus wants to walk with you and do life with you. You could experience that anytime, anywhere, right? That is Sabbath rest. So what does this look like, though? Like, how could we experience this discipline of Sabbath rest in our daily lives? And that's the thing. It requires discipline. It does. Discipline is the bridge between who you are right now and the person you want to become. Discipline is that bridge. Who you are right now, what are you doing, and the person you want to become and the things you want to be doing in the future. Discipline is that bridge. So what does that look like for you? One thing I've learned, I've been taught, is we always have time to do the things we do first. We always have time to do the things that we choose to do first. So maybe for you, it's when you get up in the morning, rather than just scrolling, you know, and interacting with social media, which sometimes I do that, and I'm like, I don't even care about the person thing profile I'm looking at. I'm just in a trance, right? Like, maybe instead of that, you have the discipline instead to spend time with God. Maybe it's when you get in your car before listening to music or a podcast or whatever, you just take a few minutes just to talk with God. It's not about quantity. It is all about the quality, right? Maybe you download the app called Dwell, D-W-E-L-L. It's an audio narration of the Bible. I've been using it on a fairly regular basis lately. And actually, it has different like dialects and stuff. It brings a fresh voice to scripture. It's pretty cool. And I've been listening to that kind of on a regular basis as I drive into work. So maybe that's what it looks like for you on the daily level of how you could have that discipline to get that Sabbath rest, that time with God, where you remind yourself that he just wants to walk with you. And he'll pull your weight for you. On the weekly side, and we'll go through this pretty fast, on the weekly side of things, how you can experience Sabbath rest, I want to give you the number one thing that's been transformational for me in experiencing Sabbath rest, and also for the dynamic of our family. And I learned this from mistakes, from people giving me loving correction, of seeing my lack of discipline of rest in my life, and then also from examining the scriptures, see it pretty clearly there, and from leaders and believers who I really want to emulate. Here's the number one piece of advice that I can give you today to experience Sabbath rest on a weekly basis. Take a weekly Sabbath. Take a weekly Sabbath. Each week, take one day for rest and do things outside the norm of the other 6 days, okay? But remember this, it's not about the rules, it's about the rest. Remember, it's not about the rules, it's about the rest. So all of us have all kinds of different jobs, okay? Some of us run companies and we are the supervisors. Some of us have a lot of supervisors between us and the head of the company. Some of us work 9 to 5. Some of us are online all over the place all the time. Okay, so take one day for rest and do things outside the norm, the normal routine and grind of the other 6 days. But remember, it's not about the rules. It's about the rest. How does this look for you? And taking a weekly Sabbath, differentiate between what you have to do, like changing a diaper or making sure your kids aren't sucking on electrical outlets, and what you should do, which is everything else. I should cut the grass. I should get ahead on work. I should respond to that email I forgot to last week. I should do. Hey, breaking news. Should-do list is eternal. It never stops. So instead, focus on what you have to do, like supervising your children or whatever, right? What you have to do. But then in all things, choose the things that day that give life rather than take it. Choose the things that give you life rather than take it. Talk that over with your spouse or with your family members, the people that it affects. In the last couple days, I've had to have this conversation with my wife, Nikki. You know, like I knew the things that we do on Sabbath that give me life, right? But I'm like, babe, you know, being a mom of three little kids, like what are things that we could do that give you life, you know, that like can be done, right? So have that conversation. Don't be a selfish jerk, right? But what are the things that you can do that give you life and rather than take it? Taking a Sabbath is the right thing to do, and it's the smart thing to do. Taking a weekly Sabbath is both the right thing to do and the smart thing to do. The truth of the Sabbath still applies. We are not bound by Old Testament rules. We're not. Jesus fulfilled all the law. However, the Old Testament commandments, they still really apply. For example, don't kill anyone, don't commit adultery. Still pretty healthy and helpful, okay? Right? So is the commandment of taking a weekly Sabbath. It reminds us that God is the provider of the very things we are fearful of losing, right? We don't want to take a Sabbath. Some of you, your hearts are just jumping out of your chest right now in protest. You're like, you don't know my life. I'm too busy. I can't afford that. That's why you need it, right? So I get that. Don't think it was easy for me yesterday to take a Sabbath when I kind of had a thing going for me today, okay? Like, I understand that. Totally. That is the pain. That's the burn you feel. But here's the thing. God is the one who's given you your brain. God is the one who has given you every skill and ability that you have. God is the one who led you to a conversation that one time that was like a pretty significant conversation that lands you to the position that you have today. He's the one who provided you your internship. He's the one who gave you that shocking email response back that you didn't think you'd get that like helped advance your career. He's the one who like allowed that turning point in your company where everything really took off to happen. He's the provider of every good thing you have. So he's not going to penalize you for taking a day to honor him, to remind yourself that he is in control. He's not going to penalize you. He is going to bless you. I'm just sharing with you the battle that I feel every week, okay? Sabbath is the weekly reminder that God walks with us and pulls our weight for us. It's a weekly reminder and one that I certainly need. Sabbath, taking a Sabbath is the right thing to do. It's also the smart thing to do. Here's why. Many successful leaders live out Sabbath principles for obvious work and health benefits. So recently, I even heard Dr. Oz. Yes, I'm making a Dr. Oz reference. I kind of forgot the guy was around. But Dr. Oz, he said that the weekly Sabbath principles, he referred to it as a revolutionary idea, which is funny because it's been around for a minute or two, right? So here's one of the greatest benefits, though, taking a Sabbath rest that leaders and believers around the world know. It enables you to play the long game. Intentionally powering off enables you to be at optimal strength for the long haul, right? You're not playing the short game anymore. You're playing the long game. And it's not just the right thing to do. It's the smart thing to do. It's not just the smart thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It's just a great thing to do. Taking a weekly Sabbath. So here's all the principles. If I lost you anywhere, here's the principle of Sabbath rest. Whether you're living it out in your heart as you drive in the car and you're pretty stressed out and you're like, Jesus, thank you that you just want to walk with me and that you're going to pull my weight for me and you experience rest in that moment. That is a very real thing. Or whether it's taking out this principle in a weekly Sabbath commitment. But here's the principle. We rest because work doesn't and trust that God's got it. This is the principle behind Sabbath rest. We rest because work doesn't. Work never stops. It never takes a time out. If it does, it's deceiving you, right? And by the way, we're not just talking about work, you know, like our job. How about all the interpersonal stuff? How about people? Yeah, that's a lot of work. Relationally, right? Like there's so much. The work, the struggle, the weight, it never stops. We rest because work doesn't. And trust that God's got it. He's the giver of every good thing. He's the one who made us and will sustain us. We rest because work doesn't, and we trust that God's got it. We can experience Sabbath rest by trusting Jesus to walk with us and pull our weight for us. That is what Sabbath rest looks like. So here's the question. Are you experiencing Sabbath rest? Are you experiencing the peace that comes from knowing that Jesus wants to walk with you? He just wants to walk with you and pull your weight for you. Are you experiencing that? Listen, Jesus died on the cross so that you could experience that. He did, so that you could experience peace, rest that only he can give. So what's your next immediate step in implementing the discipline of Sabbath rest? Don't try to go for the whole thing, you know, like, you know, think about the process as a whole. Just what's your next immediate step in implementing the discipline of Sabbath rest? What's it look like for you and your job and your stage of life and your season and your family dynamic or lack of? Like, what does it look like for you? You were created to experience rest. Jesus wants to give you that rest. So what is your next immediate step? Do you want to be the person that lives out the truth that work and rest do coexist? Do you want to be the person who gives life your best while at the same time operating from a place of peace? Do you want to be the person that works so hard but also operates from a full battery? Implementing the next immediate step in a discipline of Sabbath rest can serve as the bridge between making your desires a reality. So, just remember, God just wants to walk with you. He just wants to walk with you, and he will pull all of your weight for you. You can rest in that. I'm excited for tomorrow night as our church declares this truth in worship together. Let's pray. Jesus, the statement is true. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Father, thank you for being bigger than what we think you are. Jesus, forgive us for our actions in diminishing your greatness and instead believing that we're bigger than we think we are. Lord, thank you that you just want to walk with us and pull our weight for us. Lord, today, the people in this room, myself included, would you help us to see our next immediate step in implementing a discipline of Sabbath rest so that we could rest in you. Help us, Lord, to rest in the Father's hands as we leave the rest in the Father's hands. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.